He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he will supply, my thirsty soul he'll satisfy, and he the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. Time and time again, he's my source, inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, he's all I need. He's all I need. I dare not turn to any other, for he's a friend who's closer than any brother. Oh, this friend, I can rely to be my strength as life goes by, and he's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. Every pain feels my deepest longing. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's my everything. He's all.
Exodus chapter number 15, Exodus chapter number 15, and I want to just share with you just a couple of verses here in Exodus chapter number 15, and I tell you, I already like what I feel. Amen. And I'm glad that I go to a church where the Lord feels at home in his house. Amen. I'm glad that people, you can come to the altar anytime. It don't have to be invitation. We don't have to be singing "Just As I Am." Sammy don't have to be at the piano. You can come to the altar anytime you get ready. During the song, during the preaching, whenever you feel the Lord tugs your heart, come on down here, do business and whatever, and we'll keep on doing what we're doing. Hallelujah. You're not going to bother us one bit. Exodus chapter number 15, look at verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they come to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses. Now, they probably were Baptist. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute, an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees. 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for, I've already said it, the spirit that we feel in the place. Lord, I pray that I won't mess it up, but I'll be able to add to it, and Lord, not take away or anything like that, but Lord, I just pray that we can build upon that, and this word will go forth. And I pray that you would help us now in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, you already recognize the children of Israel. They've just come out of Egyptian bondage. How many of y'all seen the Ten Commandments? Charlton Heston and the parting of the Red Sea. They're in Egyptian bondage. They've been there 400 years. And then God came through the land and he said, "You kill the lamb on the 10th day and lay him aside on the 14th day. And on the 14th day will be Passover. And you kill that spotless lamb and you put the blood on the doorpost and on the upper post. And when I come through the land, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And they got free by the blood. They got redeemed by the blood. So they leave Egypt and they come up on the Red Sea. And they come up on the Red Sea and Moses said, "Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord." And God parted the waters and 2 million Israelites walked across on dry ground. Over there, if we'd have read verse 1, it said when they got to the other side of the Red Sea, man, they started singing and praising the Lord because God has redeemed his people. Now, that's just like our Christian life. When you got saved, whenever it was, whether you was 10, 20, 40, 50, 60, later on in life, wherever you got saved, that's when you got free. Just like on Passover, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You got saved by the blood. You got delivered. But I got to tell you just a little bit of bad news. When God delivers you, 3 days after God saved them, they were looking into a wilderness. Now, you say, "Preacher, I'm going through a wilderness right now." Every one of us have. You're either in a wilderness right now, you just either come out one, or you fix it, head into one next week. Everybody always look, just because you're saved, just because you go to the Millsfield Church, just because you like the singing and all of that, doesn't mean that you're going to be exempt from the wilderness experiences. Wildernesses are going to come in all different shapes and sizes, and it didn't take but 3 days, and they're looking right smack dab. Y'all know what smack dab is down here in the South? Right smack dab in the middle of a wilderness. Where are they just walking around, going around in circles? And I've preached several sermons through that, but I'm going somewhere different today. But they're walking around in circles out in the wilderness, 3 days, no water. I'll be honest, ladies and gentlemen, that Bible says over in Job says, a man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. you're going to have wilderness experiences in the Christian life. But even in the wilderness, God prepared a table in the wilderness. They found grace in the wilderness. They found mercy in the wilderness. They found help in the wilderness. They found victory in the wilderness. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. Because in the wilderness, God is still good. God is still in control. But then in verse 22, what I wanted to show you, if you can pull up verse 22, it says 3 days after the Red Sea, 3 days after they got delivered, they found no water. I looked it up on Google. You got to Google everything nowadays. I looked it up. I said, how long can you last without water? And it said 3 days. That's what it said. 3 days, and a person cannot live without water. These people are going into the wilderness. God, they just saw God part the Red Sea. They're in encampment. They're in shouting, man, I'm telling you what. And all of a sudden, 3 days later, they're like, man, I'm about to thirst to death. We're fixing to die. And they start murmuring and complaining. And they go to the Moses. They go to the Moses and they start complaining and murmuring. I ain't got time to preach right there, but I wish you could. And here they go and start murmuring. And so Moses says, well, hang on a minute. And he did the only thing he knew to do. And he said, I cried out unto the Lord. You're going through a wilderness? Hey, first things first, cry out unto the Lord. And God showed him a tree. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just here to tell you, when you're going through a wilderness and you hadn't had water in about just a few days, let me give you a little word on that real quick. Isaiah 41, Old Testament, verse 17, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. You said, that's Old Testament. Well, okay. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm fixing to give you some New Testament. John 7:37, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. No water. Then the next verse, they see there is a well, they call that a mirage. Is that what they call it? When you look out over there and you see something shiny and you 3 days, you're about to die. You ain't had, and all of a sudden your mind starts playing tricks on you. They look out there and there's a mirage of something shiny and they rush toward that. And they start lapping that water up and it's bitter. They spit the water out. Oh, they go from no water to bitter water. They were excited. They saw it and they rushed toward it and then they got disappointed. Y'all ever been disappointed? Y'all ever been disappointed? Their shout turns to sorrow. Their smile turns to a frown. This is not the way it's supposed to be. But I'm going to tell you folks, if you live long enough in the real world, your friends sometimes they're going to disappoint you. Church folks are going to disappoint you. Church folks are going to disappoint you. Family members might even disappoint you. The preacher, y'all don't say amen right here, but the preacher might disappoint you sometimes. Somebody said amen. Now I want you to laugh right there, but watch this. Notice that water turned to bitterness. Now, I ain't got time to preach right here a whole long time, but here's what I want to say right here. There's enough bitterness in the church. Now, I ain't talking about necessarily this one, but I'm talking about every time you talk to somebody, why don't you go to church? I ain't going to church ever again. Something happened to me there, and the preacher did this. Somebody didn't there. They got my parking spot. They got my seat. They didn't invite me to the fellowship. And all this. I just ain't going back to church, and bitterness starts to rise up. And if you don't cry out to the Lord, that bitterness will take root and it'll start growing and you need to get that bitterness dug up out of your life. They go from no water. They go then to bitter water. I hate to tell you this, but people, they just sometimes disappointment comes and it turns to bitterness. They're living in for self and they're walking by sight and they're never satisfied. They go to Moses and say, we ain't got no water. Now we found some water and now it's bitter. It's poisonous. We can't drink it. What do we do? And Moses cried out to God. God, I don't know what to do. I saw you deliver us out of the hand of the Egyptians. I saw you part the Red Sea. I know you can do it. I don't understand why we're here. But God, you're the only one I know to come to. I'm crying out to you. And God says, Moses, let me show you a tree. Right over there next to those bitter waters was a tree. In between, now y'all try your best. Don't throw a songbook. Don't slap your neighbor. But in between no water and bitter water and sweet water and wells of water, in the midst of all four of those, right in the middle, is a tree. Well, let me get over here to the Pentecostal side. Houston, what side did you say this was? The sheep and the goats over there? Hallelujah. Between no water and bitter water. In between no water, bitter water, and before you get to the sweet water and wells of water, God says, let me show you a tree. Now, trees in the Bible, I've preached on them before, and they're all well and good, and you can preach all day. Matter of fact, Adam and Eve hid behind a tree. Elijah got fed under a tree. Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. Jesus died on a tree. And Psalm 1 says, us Christians are like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yes. Yes.
There is a tree involved. This tree in this wilderness, it made bitter water better. It made sour water sweet. It made polluted water pure. It made contaminated water clear. This tree. You say, well, what's so special about this tree? Well, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Burdens are lifted where? At Calvary. You're going through a wilderness. You got no water. You're looking for, you're just on a cold glass of water. You find some water and now it's done bitterness, done built up. And you cry out to God and God says, you better get to the tree. You better get to the tree. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I ain't been in church that very much. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins on the tree. Now let me say this, it was a revealed tree. God showed Moses a tree. Y'all think that was the only one God made? God's made a bunch of trees. I'm trying to figure out, it don't tell us. I wonder how long that tree has been there. Somewhere down in the time before Israel got to this particular bitter waters, God saw and says, there's a people coming that's going to need some help about right here. And I'm going to plant this tree right here way before they ever get here. Way before they ever know they need it. There's a tree going to be right here in their very present time of need. I don't know how long that tree has been there, but they had a need. You say, preacher, hey, there was a Savior way before there was ever a sinner. way before there was ever a sin, way before you ever committed your first sin and you first drew your first breath, God had already planted a tree 2,000 years ago to fix your problem.
Yes, he did.
It was a revealed tree. It was like he took his scales off of Moses' eyes and he said, Moses, just look over there, and he showed him a tree. I'll be honest, I was raised up in church. I heard about the tree a long time. I heard about the cross way before I got saved. But hey, when I'm telling you, there was a day when the scales fell off of my eyes and God showed me a tree. I knew about the tree, but then he showed it to me in a very special way. At the cross where I first saw. That's where I first saw the light. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved old wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. But how? Now I. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching, Tommy. Not only was it a revealed tree, but let me say this. It was a single tree, just one tree. Not 10, not 6, not 100, not 50, not 60, just one tree. Just one tree. You say, what's so special about that? That wasn't the only tree out there. No, it wasn't the only tree out there. I felt the Lord right there. That wasn't the only tree out there. But it was the only one that had the cure. James almost jumped in your lap. There was a bunch of trees out there. There's a tree right there. There's a tree there. There's trees over here. But listen, that right there is the only one that had the cure. It was a revealed tree, but it was one single tree. I think the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, but no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One tree. One Lord, one faith, one God, one way, one truth, one life. Nobody can set the captive free except the man that hung on that tree. I know what you're thinking. You say, well, on the cross, there was three trees. Yep. There was a thief on the right and a thief on the left. But out of three trees and three men, there wasn't but one tree and one man that had the cure. Only one that could say it is finished. The only one that had the remedy. Oh, watch this. Let me give you this one right here. Just thought of something. Let me give you this one right here. This is a revealed tree. It was a single tree. But then it was a miraculous tree. It was a miracle tree. You say, why? You've never seen a tree growing out there right beside bitter, poisonous water. How's the thing living? How's a tree living out there in bitter water? There ain't a tree around. The trees are around where they can get fresh water. This tree's growing out of bitter water. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Watch this right here. All through time, from Adam all the way to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Daniel, all the way through the Old Testament, they done put a lot of poison in the water. And out of that poisonous water, God took the seed of a tree, planted it in the womb of a virgin. And then 9 months later, that tree was planted and started springing up. And a live tree, a pure tree, a spotless tree, a shown of tree, a spotless tree, a sacrificial tree was put right in the middle of all of our bitterness.
Yes.
You say, preacher, you got something better than that? I do. Matthew chapter number 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of David. Genealogy of Jesus Christ. It starts going Abraham, Isaac, Isaac beget Jacob, and Jacob beget whoever, and this, that, and the other. And it goes down there, and it starts mentioning a lady by the name of Rahab. How in the world did Rahab get in there? She ain't got no belongings in the genealogy of a Jew. Then you go on down there and you're going to read about a lady by the name of Ruth, a Moabite. A Ruth, a Moabite. This Moabite woman, that might burn the carpet. Hallelujah. Well, we was trying to make the live stream a little better, and I keep kicking it. And anyway, where was I on this tree? Oh, I was on that genealogy tree. And then you got David and Bathsheba's in this genealogy. Yeah. Y'all think the water's poisoned? And right up out of Matthew chapter number 1, there was a Savior that come up out of that tree, that crooked tree. And I got grafted into that tree. Woo! Yes. And God put me in that tree and turned my bitterness into sweet water.
Yes, it is.
Let me get down here right here to this. It was not only a miracle tree, but it was a wounded tree. Now watch this. Watch. Before it could make bitter water sweet, it had to be cut down. Now this is what I'm thinking. Y'all help me. But it appears to me, if Moses is going to cut down a tree, he's going to have to get down and take his place at the foot of the tree. I'm not getting the response I'm looking for. Before you can ever get in, you're going to have to take your place at the foot of the tree. And before that tree will ever do you any good, that tree is going to have to be wounded and cut and start bleeding and oozing. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, before you ever got in, you say, preacher, you got to have some. Okay. I promise I do my homework. Isaiah 53. Y'all ready? For he, that's Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender. As a root out of the dry ground. He have no form, no comeliness, and when you should see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But he was wounded. He was despised. Let me get rid of that. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we did hid our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Moses had to take his place at the foot of the tree, and when he started cutting that tree down, that tree started oozing that sap. And Moses just took the tree and laid it down in that bitter water. I know what y'all are thinking. I thought the same thing. I'm thinking, man, that bitter water is going to mess that tree up. I got news for you. What was in the tree messed the bitter water up. It wasn't the bitter water that got messed the tree up. It was the tree that messed the water up and made the bitter better, the polluted pure. Hallelujah. Moses just stuck that tree down in that water. And they started drinking. And that water was made sweet. Sammy, this tree right here was a substitutional tree. This tree right here was substitutional. Whatever was in that tree got in the water. And whatever was in that water got on the tree. There wasn't no sin on him or in him. All our sins was on him. And he pulled all of that bitterness out of that water. And through his precious blood, he put the blood of Jesus Christ into the water. He took our sin and our sorrow and he made it his very own. He bore by grace on Calvary where he bled and died alone. This tree was a substitutional tree. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ladies and gentlemen, Sammy's playing. Now listen to me real good right here. You may be in this room. You're at a place of no water. You may have been a place of no water and you just about on your last leg. And then all of a sudden you see just a shimmer of some kind of water and you drink it and you're happy and you're like, oh, that's better. And you get disappointed and maybe you got bitterness into you right now. Right now you got bitterness way down there. Something happened to you a long time ago and it's down deep inside. And every now and then it'll show its face. It'll come up. And the fruits of that bitterness tree will come up every now and then. If that's you, I'm pointing you to a tree that can make bitter water sweet. I didn't get to this, but the last verse we read, they come to Elam and 70 palm trees. You ever notice palm tree? I always like palm. That's palm tree. I always like this. Let me get over here. That palm tree, I always like this. You ever seen them palm trees? Especially down in Florida. That wind blow, hurricanes don't make no difference. They just bow down like it. When the wind's over, they like. They go through a storm. Stand in your seat, don't get excited. They done move from no water, the bitter water, the sweet water, to wells of water. Let's all stand on the building. Say, preacher, yep, that's me. Oh, I need that tree. I need that tree to change my circumstances.